Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. Your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
For House of Cars, until January 15th, enter to have House of Cars wipe out your debt for free. No strings attached. Visit houseofcarscalgary.com.
It's Wednesday, November 25th, 2020. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
Our province announced new restrictions yesterday, but I wouldn't say there's much that's new.
No. The only things that really are new are harsher restrictions on
indoor social gatherings,
yeah,
which you're not
zero,
allowed to have
any. You're not allowed to have any.
Although I don't know how they're going to police that. They say they are.
Yeah.
They say they're going to find people and enforce it, but I don't know. It was short of, you know, ratting out a friend. I don't know how they're going to enforce that. I mean, you couldn't even tell if your neighbor had a few people over, could you?
No.
So,
yeah. I've heard a lot of people saying now that they think this is just temporary for before Christmas, and then after Christmas, some harsher things will go down if
maybe
the numbers go up.
To let these businesses get through their big,
yeah,
you know, their big revenue time, and then shut down in the new year.
Yeah, but who knows, right? Like, we don't. Hopefully this does something and the numbers get under control. That would be fantastic.
Just looking at what they've brought in here, I will be surprised if it does.
I feel the same way. Yeah.
We didn't actually talk about that on the show today because there's really nothing new to say about that.
Nope.
Let's get into her.
Let's do it.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Do you know anybody who was in a sorority or a fraternity, Beckler?
Not personally.
Okay.
But I remember learning that they have them at the U of A, and I was very surprised to learn that.
Yeah. I didn't realize that they had them in Canada, and I was learning about McGill, and McGill apparently has 5 different sororities alone, so it's a big place for sororities and frats and McGill. For some reason, I always used to think it was only in the States. Like, you watch the movies and be like, oh, that's a U.S. thing, but apparently not.
I don't really know a lot about them.
No. I found the website for McGill sororities. There's an entire website dedicated to the 5 different sororities of McGill, and it was talking about the process and how to get in, and it's quite the process. There are several rounds you have to go through to get into a sorority. So first of all, you start with an interview, of course, right? So they interview you and you ask some questions. Then you go through a round of what they call mutual selection. So you'll get an invite back to some that you expressed interest into. And that's when you can kind of learn the specifics a bit more about each sorority. Then there's round 3 where they will select you back again if they feel they want you. And that's when you get to hang out kind of with 1 or 2 chapters. And then you really get to experience what it'd be like to live in one of these sororities or be part of it.
When do you get hazed?
Yeah, well, that comes.
When do you get naked and do weird stuff? Or is that just a myth? Like I said, I don't know much about this.
Yeah, and that's what, I mean, who knows? Obviously, they're not going to list that on the official website, so you never really know. But they do say that there is an invitational. That's the final step. And this is where you get an envelope, an invitation envelope, and you get to formally open it and see which sorority has picked you.
So what is the draw to the whole Greek housing system, like, for a student? Is it the support system?
It's the support system.
Does it open, like, some doors for you?
It's like having, you know, a specific family along for the ride with you when you're going to college or university. And yes, I think that there are some things that are open to certain sororities that aren't maybe open to the regular public. Again, though, that's the kind of stuff that I don't think they're overly open about.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just a tradition of housing that I think you kind of get recognized throughout the country, and you can maybe meet up with different sororities and do things that way. I don't know, but it's crazy. It's such an odd thing to me.
Seems so American.
Yeah, it really does. And then this is just the sororities. Like, the fraternities, there's not much about. And I'm like, I wonder, I feel like it wouldn't be quite as complex a process. Like, it'd just be some bros that'd be like,
well, there's just more they can't talk about.
Yeah, it's very underground, all of it, especially the hazing. Each selection, I'm sure, for that is a little bit different.
Does seem kind of fun, though, doesn't it?
Kind of.
To live in a big house with a bunch of friends.
I know.
And go to university.
That would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people informally do that themselves anyway.
Right.
My sister lived with, like, 9 different people in a...
They just didn't have Greek letters above their door?
Just didn't have... That's exactly it.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
You know that, like, other
inbox on Facebook where you miss messages that come in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The dark inbox.
That's right. So I went into that the other day and I missed a message from friend of the show, Jordan. This was back in September. And he said, I just had the weirdest experience that I feel like only you would understand. I just ordered McDonald's off of Uber Eats. And from the time I hit the place order button to the time the order showed up was 10 minutes. Kind of got me thinking about the ghost pizza.
Hmm.
I thought that was quite spooky.
It's very spooky.
I said, how far away is the nearest McDonald's? And he said, in fairness, it's only about 7 minutes away.
Okay, so.
But I mean, that's a pretty quick turnaround for the order to come in.
Yeah, but
them to make the food, the driver to get through, to get there, assuming like maybe he was sitting in the parking lot already.
Yeah. And McDonald's is magical that way. They just, things plop out. You're just like, where did that come from? You know, they've got it down to an art, really. I mean, they do.
They do.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not quite as spooky as the ghost pizza, no, but still
a little more. Okay, maybe a little bit spooky.
But here's something else Jordan mentioned that I thought was really interesting. He said he's found a hack when you order McDonald's from Uber Eats.
Oh.
He says it gets there much quicker if you order ice cream with it.
Hmm.
Because they are...
This makes perfect sense.
They're on a timer then, right? That yep. Ice cream can't melt. So
never thought about that.
Add a cone to your order and it'll get there quicker.
Wow.
Yeah, that's some good information,
isn't
it? That's
a genius hack.
I thought so.
I love that, especially real hungover and you need it now. I need it stat. Give me the ice cream.
I cannot wait another minute. Get ice cream with it.
Cone me.
I picture the driver just holding the cone and driving with the other hand.
Sorry, sir. I had to lick a little bit off the cone because it was starting to melt a bit.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
This is a bit of a weird question, Beckler. Do you remember Sparrow's?
Sparrow's. Like,
it was a pizza place that used to be in every food court.
Oh, yeah. SB.
Yes. Sparrow's.
Is it not there anymore?
Maybe it still is.
I think it's still around.
Okay, good. Because I had a flashback to it yesterday. I haven't seen it in a while. I haven't been to a food court for a while. But I find it interesting because it's one of the places that you only find in food courts.
That's really true. Yeah, you'd never see a standalone Sparrow's anywhere,
do you? You
don't.
And then I got thinking about all the other places that are only food court places. It's a bit strange that there are certain fast food places that you only find in the food court.
I wonder why that is. Just like the business model doesn't work in a standalone store? Or?
I guess so, yeah. And maybe food courts are safe because you know that a lot of traffic comes through there, so it's a bit easier than maybe trying to go in a standalone store.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was thinking, though, that maybe we could do a top list of some of the best places you can find in the food courts.
Let's do it. I think we have a top eight here.
Yeah.
Okay. So number eight is
Of course, Sparrow's. Yeah, that's what we're going to do with number eight.
Number seven, kind of like Sparrow's, but Mrs. Vanelli's. Did you have Mrs. Vanelli's?
Yes.
Okay. Also really good pizza, but yes. You never see one outside of a mall food court.
You don't. In at number six, Cookies by George.
Oh, yeah.
They always had the big cookie pies, too. You could go and buy one of those cookie cakes.
Some of the best cookies, too.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And only found in malls.
Only in malls.
Number five, Muffins. Perennial leader for most M's in the title of a business.
Yeah. They weren't convinced. They were like, we need more M's.
More M's.
More M's.
More M's.
In at number four, Jürgenfrüh's.
Oh, Jürgenfrüh's.
Yes.
For a while, Jürgenfrüh's were found in Cineplexes, too.
You're right.
I don't know if they still are or not, but...
You're right. So they branched out a little bit. So they were also in movie theaters, but never stand alone.
Let's get a Jürgenfrüh's.
Jürgenfrüh's my Jürgen.
Number three is... I can never say this right. Is it Cinezao or Cinezao? How do you say it?
I don't know. It could go either way.
Cinezao.
There was also Cinnabon. We had Cinnabon. But they were those famous, gigantic... things that smell was...
We've talked about the smell. I think that's why they're only in malls, because that smell permeates.
Yeah.
And then you just like you toucan Sam your way over to the...
You do. You
to
can't.
The Cinezao.
You're like, I was going to run a couple errands, but where is the cinnamon bun place? In at number two, Orange Julius. Now, this is interesting because they now can be found in Dairy Queens, right?
Right. They graduated from just
they
the mall.
They did. They did.
And that
they,
never happens.
They grew up.
And the OG, I think, of... mall only restaurants, probably the biggest chain that exists only in malls.
Yep.
New York Fries at number one,
of course.
And New York Fries is friggin' delicious.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You got to be in a mall if you want it.
Yeah.
Oh. Your top eight mall only, mall food, food court, court only court restaurants. Only.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Someone messaged and said that New York Fries technically does have standalone locations. They're associated with, what's the business?
South Street Burger. So you can get New York Fries at South Street Burger, apparently. And they said that there's a couple standalones in strip malls, which I didn't realize.
Didn't know that either. Yeah, because we kind of excluded anything that would be like Edo or Opa, because you find them sometimes in strip malls.
Yes.
Beside like a cell phone store and a tanning salon or whatever. So
yeah.
One that we did miss, though, Colonel's. Colonel's Popcorn. Only in malls, but not the food court.
No.
They always have like their own stall.
Yeah.
And you'll never see a Colonel's anywhere else.
Colonel's are at some airports, though.
Oh, are they?
And sometimes they're not necessarily in the food court, but they also will be in a different part of an airport. So I'm not sure. They're kind of a in-betweener, a tweener.
An airport's kind of a gray area, isn't it?
It really is. Airports kind of throw some loops into things, for sure.
The other one that you mentioned off the air that we forgot to talk about when we were doing that was pretzel places.
Yes. There's Wetzel's Pretzels or Annie's Pretzels, a bunch of different
ones. Mr. Pretzel.
But I went, when I grew up, pretzel places were the big one. I just get the standard, like, butter and salt pretzel from the pretzel place in the food court. That was a big thing.
I feel like pretzels are kind of new out this way.
Yeah, like we had it forever.
Really, these pretzel places are exploding in the malls, and they're always backed up because, they smell so damn good.
Yep. Oh, yeah. We go all the time as kids. I loved it. But, yeah, maybe it was in Ontario first before here. The other one is Bourbon Street that somebody mentioned, which was big in Ontario and Alberta, but you said not so much in Saskatchewan.
No, I hadn't heard of it till I moved out here. It's the one where they have no vowels in the name, right? It's just BRBN, I think is how they...
The one that we had, I think, it had vowels, but maybe they've changed it now because I haven't been to a Bourbon Street in ages.
Just to be clear... Okay, no, I'm thinking of West Edmonton Mall.
Right, that's the...
West Edmonton Mall has Bourbon Street, which is where all their restaurants are.
Yeah, that's the name of the street with the restaurant.
And they spell it BRBN. That's what I was thinking.
Okay, yeah. No, Bourbon Street Grill is the one in the malls. Also hilarious when I first moved to Edmonton. And I was like, where should I go, like, to check out? Like, is there cool areas or whatever around town? And somebody's like, you gotta go to Bourbon Street. And I thought it was a real street, and then I found out it was a strip of restaurants in West Edmonton Mall, and I was like, oh, that's not quite the same.
Did they still have a Hooters when you went there?
Yes, they did.
Hooters isn't there anymore.
I ate at the Hooters.
Did you?
Yeah, I had some good wings, some good Hooter wings.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Credit cards, line of credit, car loans, personal loans. We all have debt, and House of Cars wants to wipe it away. Now until January 15th, enter to win the Wipe Your Debt Contest at houseofcarscalgary.com. House of Cars, Alberta's top choice dealer 5 years in a row. Often imitated, never duplicated.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
This is pretty wild. The Canadian singer Grimes just received a Factor grant worth $90,000. So Factor, if you don't know, gives grants. It's public money to Canadian artists. Their mission statement says independent artists. But that's why I think this grant given to Grimes has... raised some eyebrows because, well, one, she lives in California. She doesn't live in Canada anymore. And I mean, lots of artists
move
to the States to pursue their dreams. I mean, think of all the country artists that split their time between Canada and Nashville. So I don't think that's the biggest concern. More concerning is that her partner is Elon Musk.
Oh, for God's sake.
Who, as of yesterday, was the third richest person on Earth. And she got $90,000 of Canadian taxpayer money to make her music. Does that seem right to you?
No. How can...
Now, in fairness to Grimes, she apparently qualified fair and square based on the, you know, the stipulations that Factor puts out. And she didn't file the application herself. Her label did on her behalf.
Right.
So you could maybe argue that money will end up paying some people who work in the Canadian music industry eventually, right? People who work at her label or work with her.
Yeah.
But, man, does it ever look bad.
Wow.
Like... Factor has long been criticized for giving money to well-established artists when they say that they're there to support independent artists. But this one is this one is really rough.
I hope that... Can they do something with that money? Like, just, like, give it back to somebody else? Let's just... Why?
I don't know.
Why?
Like, if you look at the list of Factor recipients, there are some names on there that'll chap your ass. Because you're like, really, this person needs government money to pursue their career? Like, they have made it. They have made it in terms of, you know, the Canadian music industry. I always think that people get so mad at public art when we put up, you know, Beaufort Towers or the giant blue ring. But it's if people knew how much taxpayer money was being spent, you know, through something like Factor, they would be furious.
The problem is the concept is something that I believe in, of course, right? Giving it to up-and-coming artists. It's just...
Yeah, and I think there's, I mean...
The process of how they select that, it might be a bit strange, but...
There's an argument to be had for sure. If you know, we could have that conversation another time if there's merit to giving, you know, taxpayer money to the arts like that. But I think I'd probably agree with you that I support that. But then to give it to, you know, the partner of one of the richest people in human history...
Because she definitely needs that
money. And if she doesn't get it, she won't be able to make her music.
It's like pennies to them, okay? Like...
Oh, yeah.
The BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
So yesterday we were talking about The Littlest Hobo a little bit and how Terry Bush was the Canadian who wrote The Littlest Hobo theme song.
Yeah.
We didn't really know this before yesterday. And a friend of the show messaged us and said that the dog... This isn't funny. The dog...
it's really funny.
Not funny. The dog from The Littlest Hobo apparently reeked of cigarettes... when he'd show up on set because his owner was such a big smoker. Now that is a heavy darter.
Oh, okay. Man. Apparently,
holy.
Another man. Friend of the show, Jeremy Taggart, told this story on his podcast.
I need to hear the story.
Holy crap!
I tried
funny.
To look into more details and I couldn't find it last night. But the visual of that, I was like, oh my god.
Hey, your dog smells like darts.
Like you. You smoke too much, okay?
Oh, my God.
If your dog smells... Like, if you're in a dog park and a dog runs by and it's just all you smell is dart, that means you've had too many cigarettes.
Like the dog was smoking.
Like...
Although, growing up, Shauna, I'm sure you probably knew some kids who smelled like darts.
I sure did.
Because their parents smoked so heavily in the house.
You're right. Yeah.
You don't want your kids to, or your dog to smell like darts.
The balls. My neighbors, the balls. Very, very, like, clearly, I remember as a kid going over to their house, and, like, the kids always smelled of darts, and then the house would just reek of it, and everyone was smoking inside.
Did they have a dog?
Holy crap, they did have a dog. I don't remember the dog specifically reeking of dart, but I'm sure it did. Like, I just picture the theme song for Little Toe.
Maybe tomorrow.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
So Prime Minister Trudeau said yesterday that we don't have a date for vaccine deployment yet.
Yeah.
We don't know when Canadians will start getting this vaccine, but this comes on the same day that it was announced 20 million Americans are set to get vaccinated in early December.
Which is crazy.
The UK and Germany are also looking at early December for their earliest vaccinations, and December starts in less than a week.
I know.
So we're talking about, like, right away here.
Yeah.
I am blown away that it'll actually be rolling out that quickly.
That's
remarkable.
It's hard to fathom. Yeah.
Here's my question for you, though, Shauna.
Yeah.
It sounds like Canadians won't be the first to get the vaccine, but let's say somehow you were offered one of the first doses. Would you take it?
I think it depends on the circumstances. Like, if I was told I had to take it because for work purposes or somebody strongly recommended it, then I wouldn't be somebody who'd stand up and probably be like, no, I am not taking this. Absolutely not.
What would be your hesitation?
Well, just that you don't know what the...
It's the first...
Yeah.
The first dose of a vaccine.
You'd be afraid that something maybe was a little bit off with it and, you know, you'd have some side effects that down the line maybe would have been ironed out. But yeah, if it came to, man, like stopping things, if that was going to help and really get this thing behind us, then I'd probably just be like, okay, sure.
Yeah.
What about you?
And it's just for the sake of the argument here in this scenario, mm-hmm. I'm not taking a dose away from somebody who needs it more.
Yes.
It's just like an extra one that they had for me. Yeah, I mean, eventually we want to get to the point where enough people are vaccinated that we can kind of go back to normal, right?
Yeah, and again, it's like not that I'd be concerned about myself getting it. It's more that if I were to get it and pass it to somebody else, right? That's the big thing. So I'm like, if this vaccine made it so I didn't get somebody vulnerable sick, then...
What if there were new rules that like allowed you to move about more freely if you were vaccinated? Would that motivate you into getting it quicker?
Probably.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'd be like, okay, give it to me.
You know, if there was some like vaccination stamp on your passport that allowed you to travel again, like would that motivate you to jump in line?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, like, I wouldn't be, like, being like, okay, how do I get this? I need it now. But if it was presented to me and, you know, I could read up enough about it that I felt fairly confident that there wouldn't be some mysterious things that would happen if I took it, then yeah.
I mean, you and I don't really have to worry about this. I think we're going to be at the back of the bus for getting the vaccination, but I thought it was just an
interesting
thought
about.
Experiment. Yeah.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
So by now you've probably heard the song, the Shame Shame, the new Foo Fighters song.
Yeah.
Shame Shame. Yeah. It actually makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable because I realize that the word shame makes me feel uncomfortable. That may be one of the harshest words in the English language. Like if somebody says shame on you, that really stings. Like that makes me want to cower a little bit.
Especially if you deserve it.
Yes. Like if somebody says for shame at you, you know, that makes me want to cringe. Like there's something about the word shame that really makes me weird.
Shame is a powerful emotion. Like one of the most powerful emotions. One of the worst, I would say.
Yes. Like the Game of Thrones, you know, shame thing was that kind of brought shame back into the forefront. And then with this song, when I hear it, I hear like the shame every time. And I'm like, oh.
Yet to know you've done something wrong.
Yes.
And everyone else knows you've done something wrong.
Yeah.
That's awful.
It is.
Ooh.
It's so weird.
One of the worst.
It's just one of those words that you don't often think about. And then with this song, now that we're playing it, every time I hear it, think about like how awful it would be to have somebody truly direct shame at me.
Does
you know?
It sound like Dave Grohl is kind of shaming you in the song?
It does a little bit. Every time I hear it, I'm just like, what did I do wrong, Dave?
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
So I have this like one piece long john set that I wear when it gets cold.
Those are the best. There's all kinds of them too.
There are some really nice ones that you can get, like Marks or whatever. But I was wearing it the other day because I was working on the garage and it was a bit cold. And I was like, so I come back inside and I was just wearing the one piece long johns and I, you know, had supper in them. And McKenna says to me, you going to be taking those off sometime? And I was like, why? And she's like, well, they aren't very becoming. I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, what do you mean? What do I mean? You're spilling out of them. And it's true. It's true that I bought them as a smaller man. And the buttons are strained now. But it's like spilling out of them.
That's so, kind of a mean rule.
I was like, buy me new ones then. And then I had a look in the mirror and she wasn't kidding. I was spilling out of those things. So,
like just in between the buttons and all the...
Like buttons are, like, well, one of the buttons has popped.
Okay.
And the other ones are thinking about it.
Right.
And yeah.
Okay, here's a question I have about guys. So do the buttons in the front go right down to your honk otter?
Even like, below.
Okay.
Like they kind of go into your undercarriage.
Okay. That's what that would be a really flattering look. Just
because the idea is to be able to like still use the bathroom, I guess, while not taking them off. It's got the bum flap and everything.
I was going to say,
like,
do you have the ass flap, the ass pass back there?
I'm not gambling with that.
No.
Like, that's no. That's I'd have to be like in the Arctic before I would try that, I think. I'd have to be out on the frozen tundra.
The fuffer flap that just lifts up and just...
Surprise! It's a fuff.
Oh, man. Well, you know, maybe that's what I'll get you for Christmas. Should I get you a better...
New one-piece long johns that are more becoming?
A little nicer so you don't look like Santa. Are they red? You know?
So I'm not spilling out of them anymore, hey? Okay, thank you.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
A Calgary Heritage Moment.
It's fairly well known that Dwayne The Rock Johnson briefly played for the Calgary Stampeders. There's that famous photo that surfaces quite frequently of The Rock in a Stamps outfit wearing shorts so small you can nearly see his pecker. In fact, The Rock has made fun of that photo personally and he affectionately acknowledges his time in Calgary quite frequently.
But The Rock isn't the only football player turned famous actor that at one time played for the Stamps. Bruce Boa is another former Stampeder who went on to have a successful Hollywood career. Bruce was actually born in Calgary and he played for the Stampeders in 1952.
But from there, he traveled to Europe and began his acting career in England. Bruce Boa was in many big screen features like The Omen and the original Superman. He was also in Full Metal Jacket and the 13th James Bond film Octopussy.
He was even in The Empire Strikes Back, along with appearances in television shows like the original Bourne Identity, the early Avengers, and Shauna's mom's favorite, Road to Avonlea.
And yes, prior to all of this, Bruce was a Calgary Stampeder. Another famous Stampeder, Woody Strode. Woody Strode was born in L.A. and he was one of the first African-Americans to play in major college programs and later the National Football League.
Strode also played on the UCLA football team with Jackie Robinson, who of course would go on to break the color barrier in Major League Baseball. In 1948, Woody Strode was signed to the Brooklyn Dodgers, but was released right away. So instead, he joined the Calgary Stampeders and was part of the 1948 Grey Cup Championship team.
Retiring the following year due to injury, Strode then returned to L.A. where he began wrestling and acting. His most well-known film was Spartacus, the 1960s film with Kirk Douglas. In fact, that role earned Strode a Golden Globe nomination for Best Supporting Actor.
His last film was The Quick and the Dead, where he worked alongside Russell Crowe, Leonardo DiCaprio, and Gene Hackman. Oh, and Woody from Toy Story? Yeah, he's named after Woody Strode, because he was known to be in so many westerns.
This has been a Calgary Heritage Moment.
You've been listening to the B&S in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
For House of Cars. Until January 15th, enter to have House of Cars wipe out your debt for free. No strings attached. Visit houseofcarscalgary.com.
You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have B&S in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.